Sono scottato, perfida!
Cosa nascondi là?
La sigaretta.
Che tu fumavi?
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Opera Box here on KGNU. I'm your host, Ron Nadel. And although most opera stories revolve around lovers, tonight my playlist gives homage to married couples, such as Count Gil and Countessa Susanna. Couples may be portrayed as warm and loving, cold and icy, tragic and humorous, and even victorious. I've got music of Richard Strauss, Wolfgang Mozart, Leos Janacek, Engelbert Humperdinck, and more. Join me in tonight's Connubial Opera Box. Ti colgo questa volta. Count Gil, suspecting his wife has a lover, finds out her true secret. She smokes. And the happy couple enjoy a cigarette together from Susanna's Secret by Ermanno Wolf-Ferrari. And we heard Renata Scotto as the Countess, Renata Brusson as the Count. John Pritchard conducted the Philharmonia Orchestra. Well, it's just 4 minutes now after 7 o'clock. You're listening to The Opera Box on KGNU. I'm your host, Ron Nadel, with a playlist of operatic spouses. Of course, opera plots have to revolve around some problem, but it can lead either to tragic or humorous consequences. The relationship of this next couple is suffering because they barely have enough money to feed their children, Hansel and Gretel. Peter is a poor broom maker. He and his wife Gertrude struggle to make ends meet. And in this scene from Act One of Humperdinck's opera based on the Grimm's brothers' story, Gertrude has sent the children Hansel and Gretel into the forest to pick strawberries because she came home to find out that the children had not been working all day. And when she went to punish them, she knocked over their only food for the evening, a pitcher of milk. She's in a very bad mood when Peter comes home, slightly drunk, very happy. In their duet, he explains that the people in town are preparing for a festival, and he was able to sell all his brooms for a top price, and he's come home loaded with food. The couple rejoices at Peter's good fortune until he asks, "Where are the children?" When he learns she sent them into the forest to pick berries, he becomes horrified. The forest is haunted by the gingerbread witch, and it's getting dark.
Halt! Wo bleiben die Kinder? Hänsel, Gretel, wo steckt der Hans?
Ja, so reiten, ja, Gaetano Graus zu Hexenschmaus mit Bischof Naschbock Osterhaus die Kinder ein am Südenwein mit Zauberhoben noch sie hinein Doch über des Hin ergreift sie geschwind das arme Aus dem Ofen ist hell, schiebt die Hetze mit schnell, dann kommt es zur Stelle im Rollen des Hell. Aus dem Ofen, aus dem Ofen. Lebt Ofen, Kinder.
Und die Lebt Ofen, Kinder.
Sie werden gefressen.
Peter and his wife Gertrude realize that their children, Hansel and Gretel, are in the haunted forest and it's getting dark. From Act One of Hansel und Gretel, music of Engelbert Humperdinck, and we heard Julia Hamari as Gertrude and Walter Berry as Peter. Georg Schulte conducted the Vienna Philharmonic Orchestra. Well, let's make it 12 and a half minutes after 7 o'clock. You're listening to The Opera Box on KGNU. I'm your host, Ron Nadel, with a playlist of operatic spouses. Well, peasant life makes for many stories of troubled spouses, and it's a particularly poignant one in Leos Janáček's opera, Katya Kabanova. The Czech composer took the story from a Russian play called The Storm. From the opening of the opera, we can tell that Katya is in an unhappy marriage. Her husband, Tichon, is a merchant in the family business, which is run by his widowed mother with an iron fist. And in this scene, Tichon has to travel to another town for business, and Katya asks him not to go, or, if he must go, take her with him. She doesn't want to be alone with his stern mother. But just then the mother-in-law comes in and berates Tichon for dallying. He must leave immediately. And as for Katya, his mother has advice for her on how to properly behave while her husband is gone.
Oh,
Oh, the unfortunate Katya. Her mother-in-law sternly orders her. She cannot accompany her husband, Tikhon, on his business trip, and she advises her how to behave while her husband is away. From Katya Kabanova, the opera by Leos Janacek, we heard Elizabeth Söderström as Katya, Vladimir Krechik as Tikhon, and Nadezhda Niplova as the mother-in-law. Charles McCarris conducted the Vienna Philharmonic here on the Opera Box on KGNU. I'm your host, Ron Nadell, and tonight my program features operatic spouses. Also, be sure to stay with me for a classic Monday right after the Opera Box. I'm going to have the 16th program in my series on the symphony. And tonight's program highlights the work of Danish composer Carl Nielsen. That's at 8 o'clock right here on KGNU. This next operatic couple comes right out of the pages of Colorado history. Horace and Augusta Tabor from Douglas Moore's great opera, The Ballad of Baby Doe. And in this duet from Act One, Augusta was having the maid clean her husband Horace's office. While straightening his desk, Augusta discovered a pair of gloves under some papers. She assumed they were for her, but then she finds a love note attached to them for Baby Doe. Horace arrives, and Augusta confronts him with his infidelity, but he is not ashamed.
Augusta, stop looking so mysterious.
This one, for instance, with the lovey-dovey hands, your dearest baby doe.
Give me those gloves.
So you can see her.
What if I have?
So you can give me her presents.
Let's leave her out of this.
It's revolting. It's disgusting for a man of your age, Mr. Tabor. Can't you realize your position if you won't give heed to mine?
Go ahead and holler, holler all you want to. Baby Doe's a sweetheart, I'll see her all I can.
She's nothing but a strumpet.
You've got the right to say that.
Everybody talks about her.
Everybody's telling lies. She's beautiful and generous. All the warmth and tenderness I've known.
ashamed of the coldness which divides us. What's the use of living like you're already dead?
Hold, hold, hold.
Augusta,
see about that.
Augusta, don't be foolish.
See how disagreeable you take to your shenanigans.
Augusta, wait a moment.
Try to hack my life.
Nonsense.
I'll drive that woman out of town.
It's easy to explain it all.
It can be so rubbish.
The ruin of us
both.
Augusta, I am sorry if I'm hurt your feelings.
Horace and Augusta Tabor arguing over his relationship with the much younger Baby Doe from The Ballad of Baby Doe by Douglas Moore. We heard Francis Bible as Augusta, Walter Castle as Horace. Everett Buckley conducted the New York City Opera. 27 minutes after 7 o'clock here on the Opera Box. At KGNU, I'm your host, Ron Nadel, my playlist of operatic spouses. Although there are some very tragic operatic couples, I mean, just think about Verdi's Otello and Desdemona, or Puccini's Michele and Giorgetta. But not all couples end up unhappy. In Mozart's Marriage of Figaro, though, it does look like the once loving couple, Count Almaviva and his wife, Countess Rosina, it looks like they're heading for the rocks. It seems that the Count is attracted to Rosina's maid, Susanna, who is marrying Figaro. The Countess, though, is on to things, and she contrives to teach her husband a lesson. In the final scene of the opera, it is night, and the Count is in the garden for a secret assignation with Susanna. Or so he thinks. But it's his wife in disguise. And when he sees he has been wooing his own wife and he's been had, he begs for forgiveness. Everyone learns a lesson, the lesson of humility, when they see how gracious the Countess is. From the conclusion of The Marriage of Figaro by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart.
Yeah. Roma, Don Gonzo, l'uomo in Zara, Roma, Don Gonzo, l'uomo in Zara.
Countess Rosina teaches her wayward husband, Count Almaviva, a lesson in graciousness. From the conclusion of The Marriage of Figaro by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. And in that recording, we heard Jesse Norman as the Countess, Ingvar Wixel as the Count, Mirella Freni as Susanna, and Valdemiro Gonzarelli as Figaro. 20 minutes before 8 o'clock, you're listening to The Opera Box. I'm your host, Ron Nadel, with a program featuring married couples. Well, I'm going to conclude my program tonight with an extended scene with two married couples from Richard Strauss's opera, Die Frau ohne Schatten, The Woman Without a Shadow. This opera was Strauss's attempt to compose his own magic flute. That story features two couples, each undergoing a trial to become worthy of each other. Many people perceive Strauss's music as heavily influenced by that of Richard Wagner, but Strauss often said his real hero was Mozart. So the complex libretto was written by his longtime collaborator, Hugo von Hofmannsthal, and the story, like Mozart's Magic Flute, is a kind of a fairy tale with two parallel couples. One is the emperor and his wife, the empress, and she is half-human from the spirit world. She became half-human when the emperor captured her and married her. The other couple is a peasant, Dyer, and his wife. The empress has no shadow, which means she cannot bear children. She was given 1 year to find a shadow, or her husband will be turned to stone. So she schemed with her handmaid, who knows black magic, to find a woman willing to sell her shadow to the empress. The kindly Dyer and his stern wife are poor and have no children. Their life is hard, and the wife does not want the added responsibility of children. Although the Dyer's wife might sell her shadow, the empress feels guilty about it. She knows the kindly Dyer wants children of his own. Well, the empress's handmaid tempts the Dyer's wife to give up her shadow for youth. And angry at her husband for their poverty, she sells her shadow to the empress. When she tells the Dyer what she did, he is enraged and wants to kill her. Suddenly, the Dyer and his wife are swallowed up by an earthquake. Well, in the third and final act, both couples, the emperor and empress, and the Dyer and his wife, find themselves in a grotto deep underground. The Dyer and his wife are calling, trying to find each other. But if they do find each other, what will happen? Will the Dyer kill his wife or forgive her? The emperor, in the meantime, is slowly turning to stone, as per the curse. And the empress now must decide, does she want to be human and have her own shadow, or return to the spirit world, even though it means her husband will become stone? Well, in the end, the empress won't sacrifice the peasant couple's future happiness for her own. And because of that renunciation, the empress magically gets her own shadow, and the emperor is restored to life. The two couples are reunited. The Dyer's wife gets her own shadow back, and the two couples are joined together at the end to sing of their happiness and rejoice together with visions of their own future children. The very powerful conclusion of Die Frau ohne Schatten by Richard Strauss.
Thank you.
Two fairy tale married couples are reunited and rejoice together at the conclusion of Die Frau ohne Schatten, The Woman Without a Shadow. Amazingly difficult music to perform. Three of the lead singers have to be hitting a high C at the very end of about 3.5 hours of music in that live recording. We heard Leonie Riesenick as the Empress, Birgit Nilsson as the Dyer's wife. James King was the Emperor, and Walter Berry was the Dyer. Carl Böhm conducted the Vienna State Opera Orchestra in that live recording. Well, this is your host, Ron Nadell. I want to thank you for joining me in the Opera Box right here on KGNU. Stay tuned now for a Classic Monday.
Thank you to everyone who contributed during Colorado Gives Day. Over 260 people came together to raise over $22,000 in support of independent community radio. Your support of Colorado's nonprofits strengthens our community. Peace during this holiday season, and again, thank you.
After 8 o'clock, right here at KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. Stay tuned now for a Classic Monday. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to a Classic Monday. I'm still your host, Ron Nadell, and tonight I bring the 16th in my series of programs on the symphony, tracing the evolution of the symphony from its roots in Baroque concerti of the 1600s to today. Tonight's segment will review the symphonic work of Danish composer Carl Nielsen. Contemporary of Mahler and Sibelius, his idiosyncratic symphonies are not even remotely related to either of those two in form or content, as illustrated by this battle between a side drum and orchestra. From Symphony No. 5. We're also going to hear his second symphony as evidence of his individualistic voice and the music of Danish composer Peter Gram, who inherited Nielsen's legacy, when you join me now for a Classic Monday. Born on the Danish island of Funen, Nielsen lived from 1865 to 1931. Brought up in a poor but musically inclined household, he showed talent with the violin at a very young age. And as a teenager, he played bugle and trombone in the army, later supporting himself by playing at dances. His career was as turbulent and unconventional as his music, marked by personal and professional challenges, which also are reflected in his work. For a good part of his life, his music was little appreciated, and he had to support himself as violinist in the Royal Danish Orchestra, even though he was sponsored by a small government grant and later a grant from a publisher. In addition to struggling to build his reputation, his personal life was very complicated by an unstable marriage. He moved to Paris on a scholarship in the late 1880s, and he met the sculptor Anne-Marie Broderson. She was also there on a scholarship, and they then toured Italy together and were married in 1891. She was a modern, independent woman bent on having her own career, which she pursued after they were married, often traveling without him for weeks. When he would thus be solely responsible for the children, and resulting in his finding opportunity with other women. Some of this instability worked its way into his music, and despite their unconventional lives, they stayed married until his death. Well, he achieved success in 1892 with his first symphony, which shows the influence of Grieg and Brahms. And with his own turbulent personal life, he became interested in the psychology of human nature and relationships. He began to work on a major opera, Saul and David, the plot of which